you at some point in your life had a life-changing experience or a life-changing event, something where you say life will never be the same again, or where you look back and you say life really changed then? We can probably all think of things that have had this effect. Sometimes it can be a sad event, like losing somebody very close. Sometimes it can be something happy, like a new baby or a wedding. Sometimes it can just be something like a move to a completely different place. These are times when your focus changes. Life is different afterwards. For me, moving to Edinburgh was a life-changing experience. Looking back, I can see that London had a temporary quality about it. I think we always thought that we would move on at some point. But the focus of my life changed dramatically because it moved away from work, which had taken up an enormous proportion of my life and my thought. And you know, every living thought really was sort of built around this work. It changed dramatically away from that and to home. And even though I did later go back to work, it never ever took the same sort of primary focus in my life. For Paul, meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus had that obviously life-changing quality about it, because his focus shifted from persecuting Christians to preaching the gospel of Jesus. But he saw this change as something which comes to everybody who commits themselves to Jesus. If you accept Jesus, life will never be the same again. It's a new life. The old life has gone. Paul says to the Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, in other words, committed to him through faith, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. In the passage from Colossians that we read last week, he talked about dying with Christ as you go down into the waters of baptism and rising with him as you rise up out of the waters. You became a Christian at your baptism in those days. Today you still do in some traditions, in others you take vows. So when Paul talks about baptism, you can substitute making a commitment to Jesus. And as you do that, your old self dies with Jesus and your new self rises with him. Everything has changed. Nothing will ever be the same. And therefore, the way we live our lives day by day has to be different too. Now we're going to read on in Colossians, and it's on page 1184 in the Pew Bibles. Page 1184, Colossians chapter 3, reading from the beginning. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Thanks be to God. In the latter part of the letter to the Colossians, Paul is switching from the wonder of what Christ does for us and what Christ means to us to what action we have to take. Because our commitment to him has meant a sort of death and rising again, we now have a different focus. Our focus is on Jesus, who's risen, ascended, and reigning in heaven. We have reason to focus on him there because, as Paul says, our life's hidden with Christ in God. It's a sort of pledge of the glory to come when Jesus comes again. A promise that Paul holds in front of us, just as when he said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. When he talked elsewhere as well about the life of a Christian being like a race to be run with the victor's crown at the end as a prize. Something to look forward to. Once we commit to Jesus, we are bound up with him. He's in us as we live our lives here on earth. But our lives are also hidden in heaven with him. So we've got two different places. We live here, but our focus is on heaven. We have to set our hearts on things above so that there's always a longing within us to see Jesus. We have to set our minds on things above, to get a different mindset about the way we think, the decisions we make in this world today. Paul said to the Romans, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." We long for the time we'll see Jesus face to face, but in the meantime, we try to get our minds to think as he would and to act on that, to change our lives here into lives that are more like Jesus. It's clear from what Paul says that this life change doesn't come automatically. We don't instantaneously become good people without a bad thought in our heads. We consciously have to make an effort. We focus. We learn. And then we change. Paul uses the picture of changing your clothes. And you have to think about changing your clothes, and you have to actually do something. We have to consciously take off our old life and put on our new life, as we might change our clothes. When I was confirmed in the Church of England, I was about 12, and there were a lot of other people being confirmed too. And all the girls wore white dresses, and all the boys had white shirts. And this was another symbol of becoming a new person, taking on a new life. Not necessarily a person who knows exactly how to go about it. In fact, most probably a person who really needs to learn if they're going to be more like Jesus. All through Colossians, Paul has been praying that these young Christians would grow in the knowledge of God, that they would get more understanding, because he knows it's a process moving into the Christian life. The only way to know how to be like Jesus is to know Jesus. Andy was speaking earlier about the special opportunity we have at Christmas to get to know Jesus better. We get to know people better when we spend time with them. And we need to spend time with Jesus, reading, praying, listening, so that we know how he would act in certain situations, how he would behave. Paul picks out a lot of things in the Colossians' life, or in life around them, which had to go, which were part of the old life. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, and then anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, lies. It said in one of the books I was reading about Colossians that the Christian way of life was radically different from what was all around in pagan society then. But then this book went on to say, but it wouldn't be so different in the modern world because of the influence of Christian standards. And I thought, this man's not living in the real world. And I looked to see when the book was published, and it was over 30 years ago. Because you only have to listen to a half-hour news program. And sometimes you can hear evidence of all these things in one half hour in our society. The Christian way of life is radically different today from what's accepted as the norm all around us. But if somebody looked at our lives, would they know that we were Christians? I have to confess that a while ago I was looking at the preaching plan and I saw holy living as the subject for today, and I thought, oh no, not me. Because when I look at Paul's list of the new clothes that we should be putting on, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance, forgiveness, love, I know just how far short I fall. But then Paul says that as Christians, we are all God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It's just like having a warm blanket wrapped around you in the cold. We are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. It's interesting that those words used to always be applied to the Jews. You can imagine their eyebrows going up when Paul said it applies to all Christians. Everybody who believes. Each of us has been chosen by God. Each one of us is set apart for him. Each one of us is dearly loved by him. It's a special relationship. And as his chosen people, in such a privileged position, how can we not try to want to live the lives that he wants for us? Lives based on the life of Jesus. Lives based on the values that Jesus taught us. Values which are the values of the kingdom of heaven which we long to see. Values which we know from working through the Ten Commandments a couple of months ago and really unpicking them. Values which we know are there because they're good for us. They're for our good, for the good of society. For me, all the coverage of Nelson Mandela's life seemed to chime in with this topic, because he admitted he was no saint. But what he achieved through forgiveness, tolerance, patience, kindness, humility, was staggering. Look at the barriers that were broken down. Be amazed at the avoidance of a bloodbath, which could so easily have happened. And those qualities which he brought to that phenomenal time of change in South Africa are just the qualities which Paul urges Christians to put on in their new life, their new Christian life. Look what those qualities can achieve. South Africa may still have a long way to go, but we've surely seen glimpses of the kingdom there. How can we manage to refocus our lives, to begin to be more like Jesus? Because Jesus is all that matters. And Jesus living in us is the key to how we change. His Spirit will help our understanding. It'll guide us. It'll provide the strength that we need. Paul sums it all up when he says, Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Jesus is all that matters. And whoever believes in him will have Christ in him. This is the time of year when we remind ourselves just what a precious gift Jesus is. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us and in us. It's through his grace that we can become more like Jesus. In Romans, Paul says, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Last Monday, I was listening to Tom Cuthell at the Guild talking about Angola Prison in Louisiana, which is a maximum security prison for about 1,500 inmates. You're often there for life, and most people are buried within the confines of the prison. He described it as it was about 10 years ago, a really grim place. Violence among the prisoners was very high. Injuries and deaths were at a high level. It was a very dangerous place to be for anybody who went through the gates. But when he visited a couple of years ago, things had changed. It had had a new governor about 2005, and he was a Christian. And he'd encouraged the work of chaplains and the running of courses by a Christian college in New Orleans. 150 of the inmates had actually graduated from these courses. And the Life of Christ play, which was run at Dundas Castle for 5 years, was run within Angola prison. The inmates not only took part, but they provided all the costumes from the sort of work that they were doing in the prison. Suzanne Loftus, who directs the Easter play in Edinburgh, was over there in Angola prison last week, preparing for another production. Now, that prison's still a maximum security prison. Most of the inmates will never leave it. But the violence among them has reduced dramatically. And an amazing number of lives have been changed through the grace of God. Hope has come to Angola. Many of the people in there have learned to live in a different way, with eyes focused on a different place. If such a difference can happen in a place like that, just think what the possibilities are in our communities. Could we bring hope just through the lives that we live? Let's pray. Loving Father God, help us to focus our hearts and minds on Jesus so that we long to be close to him and really try to understand his will for our lives. Help us through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Lord Jesus living in us, to get to know him better and to grow more like him every day. By your grace, forgive us our failures on the way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again now a hymn written by Katie Wilkinson a century ago. And I think she must have had her Bible open at Colossians 3, because there are a lot of words in there which resemble very closely the words we've been reading. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day. Let's stand.